Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Because if you can take people in general, then what in the world? What in the world are you going to do with a mate, with a partner? That is surely not going to work. Because once you start getting closer and closer, the more people reveal themselves, and that's not going to work. That is not going to work. What about you don't know how to compromise? Now, if you don't know how to compromise, you are nowhere near ready to be in a relationship. Now, I hope you're following the pattern here, because we're not talking about, you know, you're ready to be in a relationship or you're not. No. You're nowhere near ready to be in a relationship. That's what we're saying. If you can't compromise, now some of y'all can't even get along with the people on your job because you can't compromise. You're always fighting because it's not your job, and you know they can't get no help from you, and you know you can't compromise your feelings, you can't compromise your duties. Then you're nowhere near ready for a relationship, because being in a relationship definitely means you're going to have to compromise. Okay? All right. All right, now, here's a biggie. You're impatient. Oh, you're nowhere near. You're nowhere near ready for a relationship. No. Patience is definitely a virtue. And, you know, I got up this morning, and the Lord just kind of played me back. I had to start talking to the Lord a little earlier than I thought this morning. Now, I always pray when I first get up, but I mean, just had that conversation with the Lord. And, you know, when God shows you, you got some work to do. Because, see, God is not going to show you for no reason. Now, I'd like to think that I was patient, but there are times when, I could extend that thing a little bit more. I could extend that patience just a little bit more at times. And like I said, God showed me this morning. And, you know, I was just grateful. I was grateful because, you know, it's a humbling experience when, you know, when God plays something right before your very eyes. And, you know, a lot of times when God put something in your head, when he brings something back to your remembrance, it's for a reason. That's the way it works. It's for a reason. You know, I don't subscribe to God just does, you know, or things happen for a reason. No, that's just too blase, too cavalier for me. You know, I understand that, you know, when God brings something back to your remembrance out of nowhere, there's something that you need to pay attention to. And when you're in leadership and things like that happen, sometimes it's because someone in that vision that he's given you or in that remembering, you know, you have to have a conversation. Or sometimes it's you. And this morning, it was me. And he had to, you know, I always think he snapped me in my collar, but he had to beat me up this morning. But, you know, again, you know, this conversation yesterday was about you. This conversation yesterday wasn't about the other person or the other people. It's about you. And I'm just grateful to God that he thought enough of me to just kind of play something out in front of me. And I was like, wow, okay. And, you know, he gave me a word. You know, I didn't get no reprimand this morning, but he gave me a word. He gave me a word, and he didn't have to give me the word, you know, twisting my arm. It's like as soon as he showed it to me, I was like, oh, okay, I got you. And thank you. So this is what this is really about. You know, if you're impatient, you can't look to be in a relationship. You're nowhere near ready to be in a relationship because it's going to take some time to get this thing done. And you can't be working out your patience on somebody else. No. So those are just some of the things that we talked about now. Well, you know, we could not finish off a Monday morning properly if we don't get our switch tip with Shanti. Let God set you up right was the word for yesterday. And boy, look at what I just got finished saying. Let God set you up right. Let God do what he do. You know, because he will never, ever, ever leave you nor forsake you. You know, you're going to get that time from God that he's setting you up, and you should be able to see it. Yes, once the setup is done, and once he's, you know, puts it out there in your face, man, you really, really, really should be able to see God's movement. So, you know, a lot of times God setting us up right might mean he's skipping us from, you know, level 4 to level 10. We don't have to go through, you know, 5 through 9. Let him set you up right. You know, because sometimes he needs to, you know, kind of pick that pace up. And sometimes you don't need to go through all of those steps. And sometimes you absolutely do. So come on, you know, let God set you up the right way. And I would like to think that God set me up this morning. He set me up to, you know, to show me, you know, some things that, you know, I want you to go do that. And I was like, all right, I got you. And it wasn't that I got you that, you know, people give you on the street. No. It was that real, I got you. I'm going to do that. So, you know, and you see the benefit of it all. So let God set you up right. All right? Well, today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day, and we are in the midst of reviewing Kingdom Business, that BET Plus series with Yolanda Adams. And, man, we got some talking to do this morning, you know? So, my two cents is on its way, and I'm sure you're going to we'll have something to say. So make sure you join us, 516-387-1358. You know, on Tuesday, this is our new thing. We invite you to converse with us. Let us know what you think about this particular, you know, episode, this particular series. We got a little visitor on with us today who's going to be joining us. So I'm pretty excited about it. And, again, 347-285-7. Oh, no, that's the text number. Yes, I want to give the text number. I'm sorry, 347-285-7777. If you just want to text your thoughts. But I'm inviting you to talk. 516-387-1358 is the number. Just call and hang on, and our girl Shantice will let us know that you're up and you want to converse with us this morning. So make sure you go get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you go tell somebody that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
A cleft lip typically doesn't affect speech unless the teeth are in a very poor position in which it can affect articulation. A cleft palate, however, does have the potential to significantly affect speech production. And what we find is that some children with a cleft palate who have even had surgery still have a difficult time blocking the space between the mouth and the nose, because the palate should lift up to touch the back of the throat. And when that doesn't happen effectively, air can leak from the mouth into the nose, and so it causes hypernasal speech. Some children with a cleft palate will need speech therapy, and others will need a second operation later in childhood to help improve their speech.
Again to you. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Or welcome. Well, thank you for joining us today. And today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. The day we have My Two Cents, a TV and film review segment. We are, you know, showcasing Kingdom Business at BET Plus. We starting Yolanda Adams. And before we open up that topic, I want to give a shout out to the Burns, Pastor J.O. and Lady Nicole Burns. They have their marriage conversation on Monday evenings at 8 o'clock. And I want to give a shout out to the Ferrers. You know, our Pastor Rob and Lady Sherelle. They also have a segment on their YouTube channel as well as Facebook Live. And the Burns also does Facebook Live. And Marriage Mandate is what the Ferrers call their matter segment. And last night, oh, they had a couple on there, and I'm going to definitely try to get that couple on there on our relationship clinic, because I tell you, they were absolutely fantastic. So shout out to my fellow laborers in Christ who are really trying to put it out there regarding marriage and the do's and the don'ts. Telling you, I sat in with the, you know, from my side of the screen, I sat in with the Burns last week, a week before last, and I sat in with the Ferrers last night, and it was really, really good. So either way you go on a Monday night, I believe the Ferrers start at 9. I'm thinking so. But, you know, just go, and as a matter of fact, you can go to my Facebook page, because I shared it on my Facebook page. You got to listen to it. An absolute wonderful follow-up to our conversation. All right? Well, don't let us go any further. It is my 2 cents time. Yolanda Adams, starring Michael Beach and Soraya McNeil, Michael Jai White, and we have really been reviewing this thing here. Well, I got two people that are going to be primarily chatting with me, and I invite you to call in and give your two cents. 516-387-1358. And listen, call in so you can have your word. Give your two cents. That's what we want. So let me not hold up any longer. I got my girl, Shanti. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am doing really well this morning. And I got my brother on this morning, Maestro Ainsley Harris. Good morning, Ainsley.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Pastor Steph. How you doing?
I am so well, so well. Thank you. You know, we've been talking about doing this review thing for a minute now. So the time has come.
Yeah.
I thank you so much for joining us today. We're talking about episode 3. Oh, my goodness. So, wait, before we get started, don't go into any details about episode 3 yet, Ace. I just want to know what you think of this series so far.
I say this. You know what? Overall, it's entertaining. Overall, it's entertaining. It's entertaining. You know, I got to say, because, you know, it's of a better quality of some of other shows and movies and films we have seen. And, you know, some Christian or church themed shows, you know, you look at it, you're like, oh my God, I can't go any further with this. You know, it's going to have you laughing. It's like, I don't believe what happened to a working at a level of certain standard of excellence or something like that. But overall, it's quality. You know, I guess no matter what, you're going to find issues with something and whatnot. But overall, it's okay. All right, just start with that without getting into any specifics. It's entertaining.
Oh, I like that word, Ains. I like that word. Because it does keep you watching. It does keep you watching. It does keep you at the point of, okay, so what's going to happen next type of thing. And I do agree with you, and I'm sure Shantice will agree with you. You know, the quality is really top-notch. And like you said, that is a plus for this genre of Christian entertainment, because we have watched some stuff.
Yeah.
And she can't even get through the opening credits. I'm like, yo, really? Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. And you and I talked about that. So, you know, I will give it that the quality is Hollywood quality. So that's a good thing. So
Our
episode last night was called Let It Burn, episode 3. And I'm going to read you the episode synopsis that they have out there. It says, Vanita's scheming takes a turn for the worse in the wake of Rebel's stellar award performance. A key piece of evidence is introduced into Danny's murder case. Todd gets found out. So, you know, I took my little notes last night, and I saw a lot of little things that kind of piqued my interest. So I'm going to open it up with you, Shanti. I'm not even going to start talking today. I'm going to open it up to you, then let AJ get a word in, and then I'll come back and piggyback. Give me one thing, Shanti, that really stuck out to you last night.
That song. Oh, my gosh. The music video song. I couldn't.
Oh! Oh!
I could not. It was like, who wrote this? Who wrote this and said, yeah, this is the song? Like, what? There was no concept to the song. It was just like, the music video being in the strip club, that I was just like, all right, there is a huge difference between, so I remember one of the first main things that we spoke about when we reviewed episode 1 was the fact that they were showing the scenes of, you know, them in the strip club and so on and so forth. And I was one who said, and I still stand by, if you're going to show where this character Rebel is coming from, meaning she's coming from the strip club, then you show what she's giving up. You know, especially she's emphasizing, like, I need my money, I need my bag. There's a huge difference between that to now I'm signed to this label, any label, and I'm now going to have a music video as a Christian artist. Not only in the strip club, but it got strippers in it. Opening scene of this video is a stripper busting it wide. I'm like, you know, either way, this is trash. The song itself is trash, regardless of where they shot it. It's like, who wrote this? And then the concept of the video is trash. It was just like, oh my gosh, there's just no level of elevation when you now start talking about God. It's just horrible. But yeah, that's what the main thing that stuck out to me last night.
All right, now let me help you out for those of you who may not have seen the episode. So the lyrics were, "I'm the queen of hearts, but he's the king of my soul. Nobody does it better." Ainsley, what do you think of this video of, you know, this gospel video? And what y'all think that's up in the tape?
All right, let me tell you something, right? I saw the episode last week, right? You know, but I said, so last night I watched it over again, So I could say, well, you know, let me make sure I'm fresh on my thoughts, right? So I watched it again, right? And I had to, when it got to that part, and I thought the same thing. I'm like, is this music video, this Christian music video starting out with a woman like crossed up and wild like that?
Yes.
I'm like,
yes.
Yo, is that how it, come, I mean, really? I mean, I could be really more liberal and giving, okay, all right, why are you doing something like that in a strip club? I can be a little liberal and, you know, in the whole concept, but that right there, I was like, all right, you know, y'all know y'all done crossed the line with that for real now. Come on, you know. And, you know, lyrically, I didn't even catch the lyric that much, but it just, that just kind of, that did quite a bit for me right there, you know. And not only that, you know, I mean, I can see you in a strip club and you kind of say this is where you came from, but this is like you highlighting, like, this is like where you are, like, this is where you want to be, you know what I'm saying? I didn't see no deliverance from that lifestyle, you know what I'm saying? And so that was my issue with that particular part right there. I thought that was quite a bit, man. I thought that was like, okay. For real. I was like, hey,
yeah,
all right,
not,
what?
Right, why not show the video of you packing your locker, you know, cleaning your locker out and walking up out the strip club, you know, like, this is no longer me. This is not what, because there's no level of elevation now. It's just horrible. Oh, the words are horrible.
Right. It's just like, you just, you know, you got on your same outfit, but you're trying to think about the Lord, you know. And it just kind of brought to light what comment she meant before, that she said, I don't have to be a Christian to sing gospel. Well, that's exactly what it looked like.
Yep. And that's the statement that she makes in the episode, you know. I'm just singing, you know, this is my come up. But before we get there, you know, it was funny because I've seen this episode before myself. I went through up to episode 4. But when I tell you, I was not prepared for the replay of this thing. And Chanti bust out laughing because when the opening scene came and she was like, oh, I was not ready for that particular shot at all. I agree with the both of you, where even her attire didn't appear as though, you know, this was a person, like, to use the words you use, AIDS deliverance. You know, like Shanti said, I think it would have been an excellent way of showing the from to, if that's what you're really trying to put out there. You know, Caesar even says, well, you know, this is where you started, so why not bring it here? Well, okay, that's fine. That's fine if you want to do something like that, but make sure, like you both said, show the transition, show the growth from the then to the now. But because there's been no then to now, you know, now you have a hard time. The dance move, what, you know what it looked like? I'm going to tell you what it looked like. It looked like I was watching Empire all over again, because that was and she's just, you know, shaking, and she was an excellent performer. You know, you could tell she had worked hard.
It looked like Beyonce
moves.
It looked like Beyonce dance moves.
Yes, and it really made me think that I wasn't looking at Kingdom Business. I was looking at an episode of Empire, because really, not only the lyrics, but the sound wasn't anything gospelish. So it's really, like both of you said, there was no growth. It showed no growth, and it really just gave a lot more credence to her saying, well, just because, you know, I don't have to live gospel to sing gospel. Ains, what was one of the other parts of the episode that stuck out to you?
Well, you know, I got to say, you know, one thing about it, they kind of leave you with a cliffhanger. You know, so at the end, I'm like, did this woman just burn down the whole place? You know, you know, I was like, you know, so Yolanda, she playing the character like a character you love to hate. And I was like, did she just burn? What did she burn down? So I think it's the strip club, I believe.
Yes,
if I'm not mistaken.
It's Yes.
All right. Yeah, but I was like, did he just burn down the place? Oh, this is another thing. Like, to me, I was like, yo, I would have been, like, kind of furious if something like ever happened in real life. Like, you know, as a man, you with your woman somewhere, and your mama going to bust up in there.
Oh!
See a woman out. And talk about, you know, stuff like that. You know? I'm like, oh, are you serious?
Man, oh, man.
I'm like, no, she did not.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did. Let's stick to that cliffhanger question. Occurrence. Chachi, what was your thought at this, you know, at that point?
She looked ugly in that scene. I say that because it was like she was really trying to look like a mad individual who just burnt this place down. It was like too forced. It took away from the focus. I couldn't even focus on what was being burnt down because I was so distracted by her forcing herself to look so scowly and whatever that character, her character was supposed to portray at that point. I didn't know what was being burnt down. All I saw was fire. And then, you know, she drives off. That scene was just horrible. They might as well have gone back to the strip club music video scene at the end. I couldn't even focus. Like I was just like, wait, what was that burnt down? Was that her label? Where her building is? Is that? I knew it wasn't Caesar's place. That I don't know what made me so confident that it wasn't that, but I was just like, I know it wasn't Caesar's place. But I was just so distracted by just her force of acting that I couldn't even focus on the fact that, because when you have a cliffhanger, it's supposed to leave you like, oh, come on. Like, and this is one of the reasons why, like, I'm amongst the ones who I don't like watching stuff from week to week as it airs, because I get mad that I gotta wait the following week to see what happened. I like to, the whole season is over, now let me binge watch, because I don't want to be left in loop. I want to be able to go right to the next episode. But that was just like, who cares about the next episode? Because I'm hung up on how poor this was done. Like, so that's how I felt about that scene.
Wow. Well, it does leave you wondering, you know, what location this is. And here's my question. I mean, are we that mad, y'all? Are we really that mad that we could potentially, because, all right, all we see is her sitting outside looking at it burn with her scowly face. And but do we really get that mad like that, where we just gonna burn people's place down and what?
Yeah.
Well, you know what gets to me throughout the whole thing, right? I'm watching this, and I'm like, all right, she that mad, she want to burn a strip club, you know, she got something to say, you know, about the stripper singing the gospel. But my thing is, like, at any point up until this point, has she even spoke to the girl? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You got all you got all this judgment, and you're going to burn a place down for somebody you haven't had an opportunity, or you refuse to get to know. You don't know what her story is and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? We just don't have nothing to do with her whatsoever. And, you know, and actually, I kind of get a hint where they're going to go with this. I ain't seen a further episode. I'm curious to binge watch, but like John T said, I don't like cliffhanger. I gotta wait a whole week, you know, because I was sitting there and binge watch the whole thing. But I have a feeling that she probably got something to do with Rebel's mother's passing.
Caesar has indicated that, you know, I watched his words last night were. Or in this episode, I should say, his words were, you know, I watched you do it to her mother. I'm not going to watch you do it again. So you're right. You know, it does, you know, it is, there's a connection there, you know. He said it in episode two. What'd you say?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yep. So yeah, but I'm like, you know, she got mental problems, man.
For real. What'd you say?
But it's like, I guess it's like, it relates to real, I guess real artists out there, you know.
Yeah, there's real artists.
Yeah, AJ, I hope to God. It ain't that deep. Oh, my goodness. Like you said, you know, you brought a really good point that there's been, you know, okay, before we go there, because I want to talk about that too. But Shaquise, Ainsley brought up the fact that, you know, Yolanda Adams, you know, he's in there getting his thing on. But wait, you know what's funny, Shaquise, before you even say that, before you even comment, you know, I always give this scenario of we're right in the middle of doing something we got no business doing. And there's the knock on the door, the phone is ringing. That's the temptation distraction. And here we have her banging on the door. Todd, it's your mother. I'll bend that door. And I was like, there we go. There goes that distraction. Now, are you going to go back and resume where you left off at? But nah, I'm sure by the time she walked through all of there and said everything, she had to say, it was no resuming. But what do you think about that part? Ainsley spoke from an older perspective. You know, what happens from a younger perspective when, you know, when somebody's busting up, your mama busting up in there?
Well, again, this goes back to how you always point out the distinction between a son and his mother versus a daughter and her mother. There's no way a daughter is living on her own. I don't care if I work for you or not. Either way, I'm still working. Okay? There's no way a woman is going to be at her house and her mama going to bang on the door and get acknowledged. You either going to be banging for the rest of the night, or you're going to get so mad that you're going to leave and you might be blown up my phone and you might be blocked or my phone might get turned off. I don't care what I'm in there doing. There is no way that would have happened like that. Especially nowadays, because nowadays people ain't afraid to smack their mother and all that. That scene would not have played out like that had that been a woman and her mother. But because it was a son and his mother, he was very annoyed, but he still respectfully went and opened the door and had a conversation. Nah, that was, you know, it was realistic, you know, because that could have been a black mama about anything. You know, it didn't have to be that situation. She could have been upset about anything, and a black mama would have done that. It just would have been a difference of how the child responded according to the gender of the child. But, you know, I found it very funny that you firing me from a business that's about to go down anyway. So who's really taking the loss? You talking about I'm fired. I just showed you that I still know how to be an A&R because you're mad at me for taking the artist who you're so threatened and disturbed by, because you know in your eyes she's about to replace you, and because I effectively did my job, you're mad, and now you're going to fire me from a place that I'm part of the team that's helping to save your business. You didn't even come to us and say, I'm noticing we're going down, here's the plan. We had to give you the plan. So yeah. you firing me, bye, because I'm still going to be coasting, because especially if you compare, you know, you're about to be sat down because all of your nastiness and your deceit and, you know, you being shiesty and stealing is catching up with you. I don't have those issues. I may have some other issues, but I don't have those issues. I can still walk in place. I'm in cahoots with your rivalry.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If I think I can go get a job with him if I didn't want to start something for myself.
Wow,
you know,
yep.
So I just found that really, really funny. But if you're talking about the the banging on the door and all that, yeah, my mama would have been very, very disappointed in me. Because she would have known I was home. She would have saw my car sitting in the front. But the lights would have been on, even if it was the candles. Well, she would have known I was in there. She would have known. But I ain't answering.
you know, angry. You talked about, you know, you talked about this dynamic between, you know, or there has been no conversation between Danita and Rebel. And I want to know what you thought about her throwing shade at the girl and then praying for her on the mic like you really care. What was that?
That's straight up PR. That's straight up, you know, I got to put on this facade that, you know, I'm all about the kingdom business, you know, being judging, you know, holier than thou, you know, who is she to sing gospel music and stuff like that. That, you know, it's a public appearance thing. But, you know, we see what the reality really is in the show. You know, she really don't care. You know, it's competition, you know. It's envy, jealousy in there.
Yep.
And, yeah. So that's all that was. You know, I would say, okay. And then I think she took it a step further, and then now she's going to have the when to go boycott the strip club.
Yeah.
You know, so
that was such a joke.
Boycotting. Oh,
yeah. And I'm like, now where's your you know? Then she got easily got scared away, you know. I mean, you there, you know.
Right.
If you read so much about the kingdom business, you know, somebody show you a little picture of your son up in there doing his thing. So now you're going to leave?
Yeah, because she ain't about that life. She's not into
that. Exactly, yeah.
Because exactly. See, any black woman who's about that life, you could have showed her a video of her son in the champagne room having sex with the stripper. She would have slapped you for showing her that. She would have slapped you for thinking that would have intimidated her. And she would have probably made a bigger noise out there and then went to her son's house and gave him a beating. Because she not about that street life. That's why it was so easy for him to intimidate her like that and scare her off. It wasn't just because, oh, I have to protect my son. No, you're not about that life. Because you would have burnt it down while the guy was standing there talking to you. It's like, stop.
Absolutely. Let's take some calls while we wait for Angel to get reconnected. Let's take some calls. She ain't about that life. Good morning, Anika. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. So what did you think about episode 3? What was some of the highlights for you?
Oh, man. Definitely agree with Ainsley that it's entertaining.
Yep.
But I agree with everything that's been said so far. The song was, I don't know where that was supposed to go, because that didn't mean anything about transition, like you said. You open up with this girl wide open on the pole, totally distracted from whatever message that would have been the whole rest of the video for me. I just realized... Watching the show, I guess they're trying to build up how frustrated Caesar is, because he's always, you know, boxing or doing something kind of strenuous when he's watching Danita or listening to her on the radio. He is a frustrated man.
Oh, my God.
Why he's so bulky. They found a bulky dude for that position, because every time he's listening to her talk on the radio or on the TV, he's picking out his frustration on the punching bag. So... The thing that stood out for me was he's just very controlling, Danita. She wants everything how she wants, to the point where the simple things, the things that she should be paying attention to, she's not paying attention to. She's not sure where the finances is. She's looking for the company. She's looking to the CEO, CFO, who looked like himself didn't know what was going on because he's looking at the husband. She doesn't know that her daughter has issues, and she's busy trying to control Taj about what he does because that's her producer. She just wants to have control over everything. And when she can't get away, then daddy gonna get called.
She
herself has shown she has not grown as a person at all. like you said, that she has not even had a conversation with this new artist, supposedly, to even know who she is, trying to play like she didn't even know her name on the radio station when you know who she is.
Well, you know what's funny about that, Anika? You said that you didn't know her name, or you acted like you didn't know her name, but then you were all ready to talk about how, you know, she wasn't doing this, she's not that, how you need to pray for her.
Right.
How you pray for somebody that you don't even know anything about?
Exactly. Exactly. That's why the radio jockey was funny when he looked at her kind of weird, like, you don't know? Sure.
Right. Because, you know, like Ainsley said, this is all for PR purpose. So, you know, she's going to pretend like she don't know anything. On a scale from one to five, one being the worst, five being the best, where does this episode fall?
I guess I'll give it a three. Not super bad, but it's not, like, one of the best ones either. It's definitely better than the first two. Definitely to see now what's coming next. I'll give it that.
All righty. Thank you so much for adding in your two cents. We
thank
pray
you
to have a blessed day. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. We got our girl Vivian. Let's say good morning to Vivian.
No. Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning.
So what was your highlight in episode 3?
My highlight was the faces. I agree with Shanti. You know how when you was a kid and you tell them, like, oh, show me a happy face. Show me a mad face. That's what I was getting. That's what I was getting the whole episode with that lady. She was just really overdoing the mad face, and it was very distracting from whatever was going on in that scene. It was just very immature. Like, it was childish.
Wow. What were some of the other things that stuck out to you?
The guy, her son, when he sat there and told the girl, like, you know, I went through this whole season of my life when I was just having sex with anything that would say yes. And then she's like, well, what are we supposed to do? Hold hands and chit chat? And he's like, well, we could do it. We don't have to go that far, but then we could get creative. And I'm just like, ain't that us? Ain't that us?
Okay.
You know we ain't supposed to be doing this, but we gonna get as close as possible to doing exactly what we ain't supposed to be doing.
Absolutely, Vivian. And my thing was, well, what didn't they do? You might as well have done the whole thing.
Exactly. That was just ridiculous. But it was realistic, honestly. It was,
Viv. You're right. Very realistic. That's why I compared the part when I said to Sean Caesar, because I always tell, you know, all of you, hey, you know, this is what happens. There's that distraction. And we always get that knock on the door, that phone ringing. And I couldn't believe, like you said, he went through this whole thing, and now he's doing it anyway. But you might as well go ahead and finish the job.
Right.
Wow.
The other thing that stood out to me was the father with his daughter when she was at the piano singing and, you know, told him how she was feeling and really thought that his prayers was doing something. My life that you're living, ain't no way that you can really pray for your daughter of need right now. So when he walked away, so you know, Dad, you always know the right thing to do. But then when he walked away, it didn't have really changed. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Help her right now because of the lifestyle that you're living.
Right. Good point, Viv. Really good point. On a scale from one to five, one being the worst, five being the best, where's this episode rating for you?
I'll go back to a three. I think that this episode is in the last episode, so I'll go back to a three.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. You have a blessed day. Thanks for giving your two cents.
Thank you.
All right, Aim. I want to, you know, we're getting ready to wrap up so that the pastors can come on. But I wanted to know what you thought about that scene, you know, with the, like Vivian said, you know, the father's living this particular lifestyle, and his daughter's in dire need of prayer. And she's like, well, how effective is your prayer going to be when you're living this lifestyle? What's your thought? Ainsley, are you talking to the mute button?
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, here. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. It's okay. I was like, I was kind of liberal. I was kind of okay with it at the very end. And I think he asked, you know, how do you feel better? But it seemed like when he walks off, she right back in the same position she was.
Right.
You know, it was like, okay. It was almost like, what's the point? I was like, okay. Okay, we did all of that for this. You know, okay. So.
Is that the reality, though?
You know what? It kind of is, though. You know, it kind of is. I believe it is. You know, it is. Because, you know, I guess in real life, you probably see people, you know, they get prayed for. You know, like, maybe at the moment, they expect to feel this miraculous change and stuff like that. But, you know, it don't be like that. You know, sometimes it takes time, you know, for the prayer to come to, you know, fruition, you know. But the point, the feeling I got watching the show, you know, was like, it was, to me, it looked like she just went back to the same way she was feeling before. That she said, yeah, she felt better, but she wasn't. She didn't.
Right. You know, and I'll pose this question to you, Shantice. That was what my thought was, as Vivian mentioned that, and Ainsley took it to where my thought was. You know, after he prayed, he says, you know, now do you feel better? And I didn't think that was a good question, because that's not reality. You know, sometimes when we ask, you know, we go to God or someone prays over us, we're still there. You know, the pickup doesn't come until later. And lo and behold, like Ainsley points out, right when he got up and walked off, she said, yes, I feel better. But when he walked off, now maybe she was just saying it to make him feel good, but the reality was she did feel better. And I'm not saying anything is wrong with that, but that was my thought when he asked her, do you feel better? I have never prayed over anybody, my children or anybody, and they came back and asked, do you feel better? I didn't just stop and say amen. Now, you could. I'm not saying that the power of the God could move that fast, but I didn't just got finished saying amen. Now, am I really thinking that God, I ain't God? Come on now. So, Shantice, you know, what's your thought when you think about the two points that Ainsley and Vivian brought up?
I think nobody in that family loves anybody in that family. And as the bishop, because he's the bishop, right? Or is he the pastor?
Yes.
As a bishop or pastor, he's the one. He's supposed to be, you know, his children's leader spiritually. So as your leader, like Vivian said, I'm not doing any type of justice, or I'm really wasting your time by praying over you, knowing I'm living this alternative lifestyle. I know that my prayers are not effective because there's a blockage. My sins have even blocked God from being able to really deal with me properly because I haven't repented and really, you know, been honest with God about whatever my struggles are. And at the tail end of his prayer, he got choked up, and I was sitting there thinking, that's because he's really praying for himself, but he's standing over his daughter acting like he's praying for her. But this prayer is really about him, because if you paid attention to the things he was saying and then paying attention to how he started, like, really choking up at the end, it's like, God, I'm really talking to you for me. And that's what happens. We can't go and pray over anybody, and we haven't taken our mess to God. It just doesn't work that way. Okay? So that's why he asked, are you okay? Because he ain't okay. And now she's talking about, oh, daddy, yes, you always know the right thing to say. Why are you lying to this man? So now you going to allow him to go pray for somebody else. He could have walked into the janitor of the church on the way out and felt the need to pray for him. Now you're going to go mess up someone else's day by allowing this ineffective bishop to go and pray over them. Y'all don't love each other. You know, so it's just really, and I do agree that there are, you know, there are times where we pray and we don't necessarily feel a huge change. But I have to say, especially as of late, like last night, I don't know what was going on with me last night. Out of nowhere, I just felt completely heavy. My heart just started feeling completely heavy. I don't know what was going on. I didn't know if it was because I was looking at my grandmother's memorial card. I didn't know what it was. And I just started crying. And I'm like, God, I don't know what's happening. I don't know. Is it something that I'm not acknowledging? And then after a while, I just felt the need to start praying and listening to some gospel music. And all of a sudden, I just started smiling out of nowhere. So you may not feel a huge leap immediately all the time. But if you're really in tune with God and you're serious about, okay, God, even if we're all a mess, like I said the other day, we're all a mess. Even after baptism, you're still a mess. It's just a different type of mess, and you learn how to get out of your mess a little quicker than before you gave your life. But there is a shift that does take place, and it has to take place, even if it's a small shift, because then what is the point in prayer? If I'm feeling distressed and out of it like she's feeling, and, you know, looking at last week's episode and then seeing her cry this week, you can kind of understand why she could be in this level of emotional distress without even really being able to pinpoint it. You know, as the viewer, you can see it. So what's the point in me trying to pull myself up in the Lord if I'm not going to feel any type of change after prayer, whether I pray for myself, whether someone else puts hands on me and prays? What's the point in praying? What's the point in saying, Shanti, you can go to God and he's going to pull you out of this level of depression or whatever if I'm not going to feel anything immediately? So, no, it may not be this huge laughing or smiling after, but even if after whoever says amen, and then maybe even 5 seconds later, it's just like, even if you just feel that level of hope you didn't feel before prayer.
Well, it makes sense. You know, my thought is, you know, I'm not going to ask after I pray, you know, do you feel better? Because
right.
Now that puts pressure, in my opinion, my two cents, it puts pressure. You know, what God does with you, do it, because sometimes you don't even have to wait till after the prayer before God, like you said, begins to lift you. Because remember, the Spirit of the Lord is always active. So that definitely can take, you know, a root and start to help you feel better. You know, but, you know, to ask someone, do you feel better? You know, then what do I say? Do I say no? And then now you all twisted because the person told you no, they don't feel no better. It was something you said, and I wanted to ask Ainsley before we brought on the pastors what he thought about, you know, something you said. But, Ainsley, I'll let you, you know, maybe you'll come across what, you know, what I was thinking about when you, you know, when you listen to Shanti say, you know, about, oh, when she says, well, you know what, the father was praying for himself, and, you know, because there could be this hindrance of getting your prayer answered because of your lifestyle. Well, what's your thought on that one?
You know what? I didn't think about that at all. I didn't think about that at all. Because I believe God can use anybody he want. You know, because we all got issues and whatnot. So I mean, I believe even though his life, maybe I'm wrong, But I think even though he doing things that he ain't supposed to be doing, God maybe still, you know, the prayer, even if it was not his daughter, somebody else, God would still answer that prayer. It didn't cross my mind that he was actually praying about himself, you know. I was thinking, well, of course, my mind was like, yo, how could you pray when you know what you just did? But, you know, I think, you know, but you're right, though, you know, like, do you feel better? It was just like, that's just, that was just totally wrong. Because now it kind of forces, you know, somebody, now this is his daughter, maybe she used to that, you go, what you supposed to say? No.
Right.
I don't feel better after being prayed for.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, so, you're right. I think that's totally inappropriate. And I think the real thing to say is, like, you know, you can offer word of comfort. All right, I'm trusting God, everything's going to be okay. It's, you know,
right.
Like Dante said, where's the hope? All right, you know, there's an expectation, you know,
right.
That, all right, God's going to move, you know, despite what,
right.
Despite whatever what the situation is, you know. Yeah.
So, okay, so on a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being the worst, 5 being the best, what do you rate this episode?
I'm not going to be as hard like I think everybody else is. I'll make it, I want to say 4, but maybe 3.5. I'm
going to
be as hard.
Avery, that sounds just like you. That sounds so you. That sounds so you. I'm not going to be as hard as everybody else. But, oh, my goodness. That, I haven't spoken to you in quite a while, but, man, oh, man, that is so – that was such an Ainsley response. Thank you so much for joining us. You know,
right.
I reserve the ability to, you know, have you join us again at another time, God says. But hang on and listen to the pastor's chat. I would love to hear what
most
they have
definitely.
To say. But we are so grateful to you for throwing in your 2 cents this morning. Thank you.
I appreciate being put my 2 cents in. They want to put in 3 cents.
Your 3.5 cents. Thank you. Have a blessed one. Thank you.
All
hang
right.
around. Hang around and listen. All right. Thank you.
All
right. We got some comments from the listeners. What you got, Shanti?
Okay, so we have, all right, first, I agree the parents are aware of the issues of the daughter. She's an afterthought with all of what they are concerned about. I'm sorry, the parents are unaware of the issues with their daughter because their concerns are elsewhere. It reminds me of when we are taught to have targeted prayers. If he truly knew what was going on, he may have been more effective. So that last tell-in was regarding the father praying over his daughter. Had he been more
that
in tune, we just
nice.
End up with her, you know. Yeah.
Nice. What good thought, listener. Good thought. You know, if again, you know, we talk about targeted prayer. Like you said, if he knew, you know, you're the father. You're the bishop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are her covering as a dad. You're her covering as a leader. You should be able to really say, you know, God, I know, you know, her heart is heavy because of what, even if you didn't spell it out. But I agree. I definitely agree with that one. Thank you, listener. What else you got, Chauncey?
And then I agree his own issues were infused in the prayer.
Oh.
Then I have, my thing in the music video is the ending where she sat in the chair wearing a crown, then her boyfriend came and said, you're changing, but I don't see a change. So it's like you're trying to change for one way, but I see a change in another way.
Wow, wow. Yeah, I thought that dynamic between the boyfriend and Rebel after she got finished performing, and she asked him, you know, so how did I do? What did you think about me? And he just didn't give her the answer she was looking for, you know. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't impressed. You could tell by his response, he wasn't impressed. He didn't even care for it. It just wasn't even, you know, something that, you know, that even moved him at all. So I agree. I agree, listener. I agree. Anything else?
No, not as of yet.
All righty. Thank you so much for joining us, Shantice, and putting in your two cents, as well as our listeners. Thank you so much. We pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you, too.
All righty. It's time to talk to the pastors and see what they got to say. Let's say good morning to Pastor Charlene. Pastor Charlene, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you. I am well. Any thoughts?
Oh, I saw it. I watched it. Well, I'm going to stay right where everybody is as far as the dancing. Well, before I get to the dancing, what's her name, Rebel?
Rebel, yes.
Okay. Why, when they came into the house and they had the wig and they threw out all her stuff, that wasn't going to make her change at that moment. She stated, I'm here for the money. She's not here to change her life. She's here for the money. Nobody has talked to her yet about Christ, of changing her.
Right.
So then when it goes from that, then it went into the club. Once I saw that poll, I said, here we go again. Her dancing, she was trying to do, to me, in this part, she was trying to be Beyonce. I did not like that piece at all. She said that even though she wants the money, right, we are not giving her time not to be who God called her to be. And everybody is like, we're going to do like a fast track run through. She's going to automatically, because she's singing for the Lord. Sometimes it can work for some, because I am, once again, I'm a true believer of, in the mix of something, of singing or in deliverance can happen. I'm a firm believer of that. It doesn't work for everybody, but it depends on where your heart stands. Her heart is still with money, right? So she's trying to be something that she's not ready to be totally, to give up, to surrender to.
Right.
On that behalf.
Right. You know, oh. Pastor Charlotte, hey. I want you to stick a pin right there. I want you to stick a pin right there, because you brought this up before, and it came up again tonight, and I'm sorry, this morning, and I do agree. We haven't taken this girl to church. I ain't heard nobody invite her to church. I ain't had nobody sit her down with any type of Bible study. Not only, you know, because we could easily say, well, maybe they just haven't shown it. No. I agree with the rest of you. All that we've seen is this fast track into, well, you're a gospel singer now, and you got to change your image, and you can't look like this, and you can't do that, and you can't be seen doing this. And that's not reality. And here's my question, and I'm going to put Pastor KL to, because I don't want us to jump too far around. I've been trying to do this a little bit different when we come into this segment. But my question is, why not leave alone? Leave alone. Leave her alone about the singing. Why not just start to nurture her? Let her come to church. Let her sit down and have, you know, Bible studies. There's so many people that could reach this young lady. You had, Kara Shears the first time. You had this other, you know, young lady the next time who says, I know, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you know, you don't look so bad. Why don't we just take the time to do things like that before we jump into this music business because everybody's out to make the money. So I don't know. Is that crazy to believe that mm-hmm. you just leave her alone with the singing part? Her voice ain't going nowhere as long as she ain't using no drugs. So leave alone and just mm-hmm. focus on that. What's your thought on that one?
My thought was and you're right, but my thought went right to, as you were speaking, it goes back to the first one. She said, I didn't come to you. You came to me.
Right.
So she didn't say, I'm coming because I want to be saved. She didn't say, I'm coming. I just want to know who Jesus is. She didn't do that. They came to her, and now you want me to automatically to change my life. But that's not what I want. All I want to do is to sing. So I'm agreeing with you. If y'all gonna want her to sing, just let her sing. And as she's singing, now you get a chance. Like you said, there's so many. But she's seeing how the mother, Yolanda Adams, is rejecting her as well. So you showing me that I don't want to be like you. All y'all worried about me is to sing. Y'all not worried about my feelings. Y'all not worried about none of that. And she said, all I want to do is sing.
Yep, and that's what she does. She just wants to sing and make the money. Let's get Pastor KL on and get his story. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Good morning, Pastor Steph.
You know what? You and Brother Al are battling over these opening quotes. You know, we got this issue here of them fast tracking Rebel onto, you know, or into being this, you know, not only singing gospel, but to now change the persona. And her lifestyle, because everybody knows she's coming from the strip club. So now it's this issue of changing her. And Pastor Sharon says, you know, just let her sing and, you know, minister to her on the side. My thing is she's not amenable to anything. All she want to do is just sing. However, why don't you take it from the approach of, you know what, let's introduce her to Christ, period. If it wasn't so much about the money, which is, you know, also Pastor Charlotte's, you know, a point, which is very accurate, you know, but everybody think about the money. She think about the money, and so are they. What's your thought?
Well, I mean, I have a couple of thoughts. First of all, you know, like Pastor Charlotte said, you know, she ain't trying to be saved. Now, you can save me a few dollars, but she ain't trying to be saved, you know. So that's the problem right there. And not only that, she's not trying to be saved because of the things, as Pastor Charlotte said, that she's already seeing. If my Bible speaks, or if God speaks about come as you are, and I'm already being put down, I'm already being shunned out because of as I am, why do I want to join your organization when you look down on us? Why would I want to do that? Now, if I can sing and my gift will make room for me making my money, then I don't need to be part of your organization. So I think that's the problem. You can't tell me, or you can't try to change my lifestyle when your lifestyle does not line up with what you're trying to get me to do. Because
absolutely,
in spite of who I am, in spite of how I live, you should be able to see beyond that and still gravitate to me or still want me to come in. And you have to meet people where they are, meaning that I can't condemn you or try to clean you before I catch you.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to throw this out at the two of you, you know, with this this point that you're making. You know, I'm trying to find, I wrote it down, where Yolanda Adams makes a point, and she says something about, you know, the way Rebel is, and, you know, she hasn't changed her life, and, you know, what about the way she's living? And my question is, but your life ain't no different. You're willing to lie. Here we go with the church folk. You're willing to lie about the song that, you know, the origin of the song. You're willing to lie. You didn't kiss up on this man in episode 2. You're willing to let the bishop take your husband, take up a collection for missionary because it's your particular missionary. You're lying. You're living a life that is unbecoming of a Christian person. So, you know, she says, I'm fighting for my life and you're fighting for a whore. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You ain't much different than this whore. You're just a person in the church who's doing this, who's living this same lifestyle. But we always looking across the table at somebody else's sin. Pastor Charlotte.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She hoeing the church to get the money. Because she's just on the pole trying to make the money. So she's trying to make everybody give up their money in the church and spend it on her. Come on now. Sin is sin. You cannot point your finger at somebody, you know, because they always that saying, if you point that one finger at somebody, them three back at you. So you cannot do that. If anything, you should be trying to nourish her. You should be trying to help her as a mother. It's so much that come with that, with her and that scene. I can't wait to the end because I believe she did it all. She did it all. And that baby son ain't hers. It's that other man. Mm-hmm. I mean, ain't the bishop. It's the other man. Mm-hmm. I got a lot to say about when we get to the end because watch and see what I say. I'm like, mm-mm. She got a lot of stuff going on. She want to burn the house down like the scene. And what's that Tyler Perry's movie? Come on, stop playing. Stop playing. No, The Oval. That's it, when she burned down that. Y'all just taking too many scenes out of other stuff, and y'all bringing it in. I don't like Yolanda Adams this way. I don't like her, so I'm sorry. I don't like the way she is. My 2 cents and a half. I like the way he said it. And a half. Those are my 2 cents and a half.
Oh, my goodness. Pastor KL, you know, we're talking about the fact that, you know, you are pimping the church and you're complaining about the whore. What's the difference?
There's absolutely no difference. The only difference is that, you know, her sin, Rebel sin, is seen, is out. You know what I mean? And she's walking in it. And for a better term, Rebel's okay with her sin. She's living her sin, and she's okay. Here you are, sinning in the closet. You're not even bold. You're not even a bold Christian to sin and tell folks I'm sinning. We on the side, hey, can you do this? Hey, can you raise an offering for this? Hey, and we want to make it look like it's churchy, you know. But sin is sin. There's no greater sin. So just because yours is exposed, does that make her worse off than mine in the closet? So I'm sleeping with all the women in the church, but only the women that I'm sleeping with know it. So then it's not sin because we all keep it to ourselves? Then it's sin.
Okay. I heard nothing you said, Pastor KL. Just give me a synopsis of what you said, please. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I know you're sinning over there. It's okay. what I was saying is that... I need you to keep up now. What I was saying is that just because Rebel's sin is exposed, you know, and Rebel is okay with her sin, you know, she's walking in her sin. This is what she does every day. But here we are on the Christian side. You know, we're in the closet. We want you to do stuff on the side when nobody else knows about it but you and I. And I was saying, you know, what's the difference between me sleeping around with all the church folks, all the ladies in the church, and only the ladies in the church know I'm sleeping with them, it's still sin. My sin is no less sin because you don't know about it, and her sin is more because she's on the pole.
Right. And again, here you're about to set up this big tour on this live. You admittingly said, you know, so what? You know, you don't have any proof that this is your song. So your lie is just as, I agree with both of you. Your lie and your sin is just as big as Rebel's. You just behind the scenes. And now you don't even connect the dots as to why your whole thing is coming to a crumble. So it's like, okay, so then what you doing? And that's the sad part about it. You know, it's we're not looking at sin as sin. For people, sin, the gradation of sin is in our eyes. But there's no gradation of sin in God's eyes. Pastor Sharma, I'll let you, you know, continue with that for a moment.
Yes, we don't. I wonder, the guy that she fired first at the table, what was he?
He's like the businessman, the money man, the one who, the accountant, the one who, you know, kind of makes sure that she's always floating, that the business is always above water. And when they tell her that the business is sinking, she's kind of blaming him. She's kind of blaming him for the fact that, you know, the sink is going down. That's why she said, well, when this goes down or if it goes down, you'll be the first one out of here. Well, if it goes down, you ain't going to have to worry about who's first, second, third, or fourth. What difference is that going to make?
Right. Okay, so I was – okay, because, you know, y'all got to help me sometime. So I thought that that's what the son was.
He's the A&R
okay,
person. A&R. He also seeks out talent, you know, and to bring people in. You know, that's why he was so comfortable when he saw a Rebel to bring him to bring her to his mother, because that's his job. Well, at least one of the things,
that was my,
you know, that they...
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry. I just was trying to get clarity because, you know, I'd be late at night when I was watching. So I'm sorry. So what was your question to me? I'm sorry. I just wanted that clarity so I know what I'm talking about.
I was pushing... You know, the gradation of sin. Gradation of sin is only in our eyes. You know, people will quickly tell you, well, at least I, in other words, Danita's concern is, at least I'm not on the pole. That's her thing. But that's just a gradation of sin that man sees. God sees it as plain and simply sin.
Right. Sin is sin. Absolutely. There's no big sin, no small sin. So, but a lot of times people don't see themselves, like you said, because it's not public as much as that. But it is public. Nothing is a secret. Everybody in the church, right, always know. There's always somebody that know everything that's going on in the church because everybody got a friend. So whoever that you, whatever you're doing, even at that table when they sit in there, it's not confidential because somebody in there is done told somebody else. So your sin is out. It's just that it hasn't been brought to you in your face yet. That's all that is. Ooh. You know, but she's trying to make it seem like she got it good because she's holding her head up outside and people is jumping because she's singing. Oh, no, but you got that darkness. There's people that's talking about that. So sin, there is no big sin. There is no small sin. In God's eyes, it's sin straight across and everything comes to an end. So you will be revealed very shortly.
Absolutely. Pastor KL, you know, Danita's, one of her statements was, you know, her son was selling his soul to the devil. How are we seeing that or thinking the son is selling his soul, but all that you're doing is just oblivious to you? You're not selling your soul? What is that?
Well, at this point, she's buying souls because she's the devil.
You know, so when you sell your soul to the devil, she the devil. She the one buying soul. She's the one making deals and asking people to work on the devil's behalf, if you will. So she's the one. She's the devil. And she's easily can say that he's selling his soul to the devil because she recognized what that is. You know what I mean? In order for you to interpretate something, you have to recognize what it is. You know, there has to be a translator when you speak it in tongues. So she can translate the words of the enemy, of the devil. So she knows what the devil looks like. She knows the actions of the devil. And she knows what it feels like. So it's easy for her to recognize or to say, this is what you're doing because I've done it. I've played this role. You are me.
Wow. That's interesting. Very interesting statement. You know, I want to go back a little bit to what we were talking about with Ainsley and Shantese, and I believe Vivian and Anika brought it up. And we were talking about, you know, the father praying over the daughter. You know, it starts off with her saying to him, well, you know, Dad, you know, are you so busy focused on the church that you don't see me? You know, and then he begins to pray for her. And, you know, we're talking about the hindrance of sin, the things that hinder your prayer. And, you know, like Avery said, I agree 100%. You know, God can use anybody. God can use anybody in whatever state they're in. There's definitely no negating that because, you know, we've seen that happen. Every last one of us have seen that happen. However, as a father who's covering his daughter, as a father who's covering his congregant, you know, how important, and this is what I really want to push, because the Bible speaks of don't do anything that will hinder your prayer from being answered. And here we are with his daughter in great distress over her personal life, over, like I think it was Shanti said, over some stuff that even happened in the last episode. You can see how all of this family dynamic is really affecting her. And here you have the person over her who could be the most effective because of his lifestyle, but yet his lifestyle could be hindering the answering of the prayer. Pastor Charlotte, what's your thought on that?
Absolutely, because she doesn't know what's going on with him. On that scene for myself, as when he started, I said the same thing. When she was saying that you have your mind so busy in the church, but it wasn't. It was more of all what's going on with him. And I felt that when she wanted prayer, that he was being convicted of what he has done. And in the mix of that is, how can I really pray for you when I'm going through myself? And I know that I'm not right. That's how I took it. When he was praying for her, you know, and by her just focusing that this is Dad, this is my bishop, you know, this is my father, you know, and I know that he can get a prayer through, but she doesn't know the underhanded of it. Can it hinder? Yes, it can, because first he should have asked for forgiveness. He should have started off in saying, Lord, forgive us for our sins. If you didn't want to just talk about you or even into himself. So where that you're able to open up and then you're able to get that prayer to come through. And yes, I agree. God can use anybody to be able to pray, whatever state, because I know I have been in places and he told me, move you out the way. It ain't about you. It's about me right now for you to minister to this particular person.
Absolutely, absolutely. Pastor KL, you know, here's where my head went, and you can follow up with your thoughts. You know, again, we're starting off by saying, yes, God can use anybody. We've all seen it done, and maybe even us, you know. As Pastor Charlotte said, you know, God will tell you, you know what, you know, you're so low on yourself right now, but right now I need you to move because I'm going to deal with you. I just need you to move you out the way so that I can get you to cover this person. You know,
here's the issue that they're showing that makes this hindrance of answered prayer even more possible, because it's been said, you know, his lifestyle. But not only was he sleeping with this other chick, he's followed that up with go get the little flash drive, go through the locker, you know, do all this other subsequent underhanding stuff, underhanded stuff. So now you ask, are you really repentant? You know, if you can follow, if you're trying to clean up your sins by hiding and burying and doing all of this backhanded stuff, are you really repentant? Are you really trying to make it right with God so that when it's time to pray, then you have no possible hindrance of sin, of prayer? We don't know whether his prayers will be hindered. However, I want to extract this issue out of this episode because the Bible specifically speaks and warns us, do not do anything that might hinder your prayers from being answered. So are we really repentant? And can we really look for our prayers to be answered when we are following up the sin with more sin?
Absolutely not. I often tell folks, you know, in my church, keep your hands clean. And don't lose the anointing of all the time that it took for you to get this level of anointing for 5 minutes of pleasure. Don't lose that. You know, and a lot of times, you know, we don't repent. You know, and we think that we can keep on doing what we do because we're the pastor, we're the bishop, we're this, we're that. All because, you know, no one sees it. Not realizing, well, I won't say that we don't realize it, but we don't put in mind that God sees all things. You know, not only that, when it comes to the child, and the child says, Daddy, are you so caught up in the church that you don't see me? You know, she went beyond that statement. She was saying, when I first went through this thing, you should have prayed for me then. That's what I needed you to pray. I'm going through now, but I needed my daddy then. Are you so caught up in everything that you do that you don't know how long I've been hurting? I'm just not hurting today. This thing has gone on. Are you so caught up in your sin? Are you so caught up in your church? Are you so caught up in your own life that you don't even see your own house? And a lot of times, whether it's sin or whether it's just personal ministry, sometimes as pastors, we get so caught up in the ministry that we forget the ministry at home. We forget the wife. We forget the children because we're so caught up in the church. And the daughter was saying, listen, you know, I appreciate your prayers now. Yeah, okay, I feel better. But I needed you then. Why are you just now showing up?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it was a wonderful segue, and I definitely picked up on that when, you know, she started off, are you so caught up in the church? I was like, oh, here we go, because we've spoken about that in more recent weeks, you know, with the pastor and the leader, you know, kind of leaving the family behind. And now we enter into, like Pastor Charlotte said and some of the others have said, nobody knows, you know, his lifestyle. Nobody knows what he's doing. So therefore, now you've got where she really needs you, but may not be able to get the breakthrough she needs. Again, we don't know how God will move, but there's a possibility. And what better else? You know, and I want to talk about this thing. You know, one of the things I say to people all the time is God is knocking on your door and you keep walking off. Now you give him an opening to your children. Because, see, how many times have our children been sick and we've been, Lord, I would have rather it for me to be sick than for my child to be sick. You know, please save them. You know, take me, God. You know, so sometimes God will open up, leave something open for something to happen with your children, because that's what's going to get your attention. So here we are with the possibility of your sins. Now, you know, she's looking for you for covering, or looking to you for covering, but possibly won't get that protection and that deliverance because you are standing in the way. I don't know, Pastor Charlotte, but what's your thought?
Yes, that's possible as well. Absolutely. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello? Oh, I thought
yes,
you downstairs. Absolutely. Because we don't think that it goes from generation, it could skip one and go somewhere down the line. And we have to be very careful, especially in leadership, you know, where that, you know, what we do can, might not, it could skip me, right? And then it can go to my grandkids, It might not reach my children. So we have to be careful. We have to be able to be right. And we have to be able to stay covered under the blood. And we have to repent. One of the things that has issues, a lot of people say, well, I repent one time. But we do something all the time. You know, and where that people forget, you got to repent. You thought it, oh, repent right there. He gives us time. But if we don't stay connected into the Lord, then we're not going to do that because we're so self.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Pastor KL, Pastor Charlotte put it in a different term, but she's absolutely right. And that's what my point was. You know, you repented for sleeping with the chick. And then you go and you now try to cover up your sin, but you may not have repented for that. And now we have this generational issue, possibly. Like I said, there's nothing emphatically because God didn't tell me. But, you know, we need to talk about this thing because we need to help people understand that it doesn't always stop with us. You know, people think that, you know, well, I'll eat my sins. And sometimes we're not the ones eating our sins. The same way we'll look at somebody and we're trying to figure out, well, why are they so blessed? You know, they don't live their life right and they seem to keep going. Well, we don't know the promises that was made to grandma or to mama, you know, because this is what, you know, the connection and the lifestyle that they live, they have had a blessing on your grandchildren. And you looking from an outside, somebody, well, they don't deserve that. And why don't I get that? I don't know. What's your thought? Pastor KL?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, not only that, you know, when you're in sin and when you do a bunch of stuff, you know, and now you're embracing your children, you know, the spirit is on you. You know, so now you're transferring of spirit as well, you know, and we wonder why the children are acting up or doing the things that they're doing. You know, a lot of it stems from you and what you do and what you feed your children with. You know, feeding your children is not always sitting at the dinner table, you know, but how you embrace them or what you say to them getting to their psyche. You know, to make them kind of trigger certain things. You know, we feed stuff into them. When we allow them to watch certain shows, we feed the stuff into them that creates sin. You know, but going back to the repenting, a lot of folks just repent what they call the big sin. You know, if I had
right.
adultery and then now my wife
right.
might find out, so Lord, let me repent on this big sin. Yeah, I just lied. And I just sold a bag of chips. But I ain't got to repent for that. Why? Because it was a white lie. You know what I mean?
Right.
So long as it was
right.
just a white lie, I'm okay. So we only repent for the things that we think we can get caught up in or we think we can get caught with. You know, but the other stuff that's quote-unquote under the table, we don't repent for that because we don't think that's that important. Well, God looks beyond. You know, God knows my heart. Well, when was your heart when you were sleeping with that woman?
I can't stand that expression. God knows my heart. No, he does. And I don't think you want him to deal with that. Stop saying that. Be careful. Oh, that drives
right.
me crazy, Pastor KL. I want to talk about something. We have a few more minutes. And I want to talk about this interaction between Taj, the son, and this chick, his girlfriend. And, you know, like, I think it was Vivian who brought up, you know, he's talking about, hey, you know, I've given my life up to celibacy because, you know, I saw, and he was so convincing, you know, I saw, you know, what my life was, and I couldn't continue to live like that, and I was giving myself away to all of these women, and blah, blah, blah. And she responds with, you know, well, you're not going to give me this D? And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't. I still can't. And before you know it, they're off into this intimate, you know, intimacy. And but yet they weren't supposed to be, you know, doing this. As long as I don't do this, but I do that, you know, I haven't gone all the way. It's almost, and I'm a bit, listen, if you can't take it, turn your radio or TV or whatever, your device off. It's almost like when people say, well, I give oral sex, so that's not sex. You know, and we're like, okay, well, I'm sorry, there's not a difference. But what do we say for, you know, we didn't go all the way, but we went that far. Is that the same thing? What do you think, Pastor Charlotte?
Absolutely. Been there, done that as well. Lord have mercy, always be bringing up my life story. So I said the same thing. I said, well, if it's not penetration, that's how I was thinking. It's not penetration, so we good. And so the Lord said, nope, that is not true. Why do you put yourself in a predicament when you know that it can go further? God is not pleased with that. You should not be doing any of that, you know, and where that it is the same thing because of you still being that connection. You still having that connection. And then what are you going to do with her? Because she's not living that life. So what do you want to do with her? So you put her in a predicament, right? You got her in this place. And us women, what? You know how we get. And he just got saved by his mama knocking on the door. So it is the same thing.
Right. I always say that knock on that door is God's interruption. But we always seem to end up going back to, oh, now where were we?
But you know, though, when you go back, though, it's not the same. When you go play that, it ain't going to be the same as where it was the first time. Because why? Because the Lord done interrupted, and now he going to make somebody think.
Well, hopefully so, Pastor Charlotte. Pastor KL, what's your thought? You know, she's
well, let me just comment on that one comment she just said. Because in my former life, I don't care how many interruptions I had, it was the same when I went back because it was the outcome. So we just looking for the outcome. You know, we're not looking for the ambiance anymore. We just looking for the outcome. So, I mean, I just wanted to put that out there, you know, so no one won't get confused. You know, ain't nobody saying, where were we? We'll say, where are we going? Okay? Getting those things which are behind and press towards the mark. Okay?
I'm just trying to help somebody.
Now, what was the question? I'm sorry, I got flustered.
Okay, so you got Todd, who she initially asked, you know, what are you going to do with me? You know, what are we going to do? This is where I am. She's dressed all sexy, blah, blah, blah. So then he goes into this whole spiel about how he doesn't do this anymore. That's no longer his life. But here's why I'm pointing out what she said. Because she went all the way to say, they wrote it in the script for her to say, well, you going to keep this D from me or you're not going to give me that D? So that clearly lets you see where she is. This, it don't matter where you are. And we're coupling ourselves with this person who's all the way out there, but yet you are trying to live in another arena because you had already been out there giving up the D all the time. And now, how you going, like Pastor Charlotte said, what you going to do with her now? How is this balancing out?
Right. I mean, and you know what? That's why it says do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It also says that every time I try to do good, evil is present on every side. You know, you already unequally yoked, so you shouldn't even have been there. You know what I mean? She shouldn't have been there. So because you have nothing for her, and at this point she has nothing for you. You know what I mean? When you say, as soon as you said, you know, listen, I've changed my life, and she didn't say, you know what, okay, I respect that. She said, well, what you going to do with me? So automatically, right. She didn't care that you changed your life. Because at this right. point, I needed some D in my life right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm D deficient. So at that point, you should have got up. She should have got up out of there. You know what I mean? Because I'm going to tell you, this is where I found out that it was fake in the whole show. I don't care if my mama knocking on my door. If I'm in the midst of getting the goods, mama ain't coming in. She ain't coming in. My mama could not have stopped me from the point that I was at. So she was not coming in. You know, but you can't put yourself in a position. Once you see that, once you recognize the enemy, resist the devil and he shall flee. You can't say, let me see how far I can go without going.
Right, right.
Who does that?
Right. But not only that, Pastor KL, they went as far as he's rubbing her breast. He's kissing all over
right,
her chest
right.
and her stomach. So why am I going to let you do this to me? And now we ain't going, you ain't going to give me the D? No. See, he's letting her know I'm about to give this up. And to
right.
to the point of, you know, what you and Shantice and Avery and whoever else said, my thing is, mama didn't have to know you were home. Y'all weren't making noise. You didn't have music blasted. So my thing is, let her knock or she want to knock. That ain't got nothing to do with
right.
whether I'm home or not. You know, my thing is, why people always say,
right.
oh, I had to open the door. She didn't have a key, so she couldn't access her, you know, let herself in. So, you know, you
mm-hmm.
forget all of that. You ain't had to open up no door, no way. But again, you know, you look at what you're saying you're not doing anymore. But when I'm looking at the screen and I'm saying, well, you got her breath all in your hand and you're kissing all over her chest and her stomach. And, yo, really? You might as well just go ahead then. Well, because there's no difference. There's no difference.
Right, right,
so I
right.
want us, before we leave, you know, on our tail note, Pastor Charlene, Pastor KL, I want you to give just a word to the church folk. You know, listen, about being unequally yoked to this extreme and just being in this situation and where we need to go. And I know, Pastor KL, you kind of said it already, but that was in your, you know, response. I want a direct word, please, to go to the listeners this morning regarding this issue here while we close up.
As a person that has been there and done that, I'm saying to you, don't put yourself in that predicament. You think that you can handle, you think you got yourself under self-control, and it just opens up other doors. I'm saying to you, for you to be able to flee from it, keep yourself in a public, well, sometimes that don't work either, but around other people, that'll work. Around other people. Around other people in public areas, you know, and be able to do that. Once you go into a place and you put yourself in a private place, anything goes, you know, and you try to fight yourself. I tried to cry my way out of it, you know, and God is not pleased. And one thing that we want to be able to please God in everything that we do, we forget sometimes that God is sitting high and looking low. We say it, but we got to know for sure that you know. He does. He does. Don't think that he's turning his head. So, but make sure that you just keep yourself safely in that way that you don't have to do that. And it's just as bad as if you do it on the phone. Hang up okay? Because that's another way as well. It's the same opening as what you saw in the show. You can still do it by phone, so do not do that as well. So keep yourself right with God. Continue to pray. Continue to ask God to help you in that area so your mind won't be able to stay there.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Charlotte. Pastor KL, what you got?
Yeah, I want to address ministers, people who are coming into the faith, are coming into ministry. Don't think that you are so great and that you're so anointed that God can't take you down. Don't think because you got a couple of scriptures under your belt that you have arrived. You know, and then don't test your salvation when you know you're still weak in some areas. Because remember, I think Shantice spoke this yesterday, that the very elect will scarcely make it in. So no matter how great you think that you are, how well you think you sing, how well you think you preach, you still might not make it in for that one thing that you're still caught up in. That one thing can stop you from getting into heaven. I don't care how well you preach, he can still say, Peter, I know. But who are you? You know, and sometimes we get caught up in, because we wear a robe, we wear a collar, we the deacon, we this, that, I'm automatically going to get in because I go to church every Saturday or every Sunday. Lies, I tell you. Get your life together. Whatever you're fighting with, we need to go to God. Come on, let's pray together. Let's touch and agree that we can be delivered and or healed from this situation. But don't think because you do all this other great stuff and it's masking the sin, that the sin is still not a stain or a stench in God's nostrils. He's still not pleased. So I say today, get your house in order and repent for even the small things, because the small things can keep you out of the big heaven.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much to both of you, Pastor Charles and Pastor KL, for your contribution into this conversation. And I pray you have a blessed day.
You as well.
You all do the same. Thank you. Let me get this benediction. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Ephesians 6:23-24. You know, in my closing, I want to kind of piggyback off of, you know, what was said. And, you know, Pastor KL said, you know, let's pray together. Now, let me help you with something here. I'm going to take this a little bit further. You cannot be indulging, and then you're going to tell this person, come on, let's pray. This really, really needs to be an individual that you're not in partnership like that with. So in other words, I can't help you sin, and then now we going to pray. Because you're the one that's going to church. Because clearly, we saw, and I think in the first episode or something, you know, she's sitting up in church with him. But, you know, he's the one that's declaring that God brought him out. So if God took you out, you can't go back in with Mary or John, and then you're going to look to Mary and John and say, come on, let's pray about this thing. But no. You need to refrain from it, then it makes your prayer a lot more effective. Because the enemy is just laughing at you. Because everybody's not going to be delivered at the same pace. So if you are praying together, but she's still, you know, where she is, and like I said, I go back to the terminology that they wrote in the script. She didn't say, well, you know, come on, I want to get some. Oh, come on, you know, you're not going to make love to me. She went, I mean, they really wrote this thing in there. Where she was, and that's the street talk. That straight street, that straight flesh, I'm telling you, that's as drastic as it gets. You know, so you can't be talking about, well, come on. Oh, I can't even think of her name. But come on, so let's pray. You just got finished rubbing up her breast. You just got finished setting her body off on fire by kissing up her chest, her stomach, or whatever. And who knows where it would have gone had mom not knocked on the door. Because clearly something had to be going on when she said, well, I'm dressed like this, but you're not responding. So I'm like, oh, okay. So now how are you going to minister to her? How are you ministering to her when you are now indulging with her? The two don't mix. The two don't mix. Now, I know there's always going to be that person who says, well, you know, me and my husband pray, or, you know, we husband and wife now, but when we were sinful, we sinful, we prayed together. Stop. Stop. I don't care whatever miracle God did with you. Do not pass that on as a word of advice. God may have done that for you. And you know what? To tell the truth, we don't really know what goes on. We just know what you're saying. But I'm not going to say God would not or could not. However, don't put yourself through that. Do not put yourself through that. Make sure that you are clear and free. You know, it's almost like we're going and robbing the bank together, but yet I'm going to help you. You know, we gonna pray. Well, we can't be thieving no more. You know, come on. Let's pray. We need to just hit this bank, but we gonna pray. No, you. If God has been dealing with you, then you need to step up out of that. Keep clear of the temptations, because we always have a way out. That's what the Word of God tells us. That there is no temptation that is uncommon to man, but that God would not give a way out. So first of all, what you're going through ain't no different than the man next door that went through. Your mama or your father that been through. Grandma, uncle, aunt, coworker, pastor, somebody that been through. You ain't the first one going through this thing. So don't position yourself where you're going to be in, you know, just like Pastor Charlene and Pastor KL said, don't put yourself in that. Because when you put yourself in that, now you give crumble. And now that in that area, you lose your witness. You know, I used to say to Shantice and all of them when they used to leave from church and everybody goes out to BBQs. And one day I heard them talking, it was like everybody had this big old Texas size sitting on the table. And I'm like, well, nobody said anything to anybody. And I don't even think it had dawned on her, because the way she looked at me and kind of laughed, and she talked about it even now. You know, we were all sitting up at the table with the Texas-sized drinks. And you have to, somebody's got to be strong. Somebody's got to be strong. You know, I remember going out, and there's a whole table of us, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, everybody at the table is not drinking or had a drink or whatever, but, you know, I'll be the designated driver because I just don't drink. I've never drank. So, you know, I'm not going along for the drinking, but they all went out knowing that this is what they do. So, you know, who is going to be the one who's going to start ministering to everybody at the table, or when y'all come back and say, well, you know what, when we go out next time, let's just make a pact. Since we're in this, since we're trying to do God, we're not going to have a drink. There was nobody saying that. So that meant that the likelihood of somebody being able to pray, and now everybody kind of coming up out of that, if I'm going to sit at the table and I'm going to drink with you, you really lose a lot of your witness, you know, a lot of your ministering. So, you know, don't put yourself in that position. If it's something that God is delivering you from or he delivered you from, then cut them ties. Don't be alone with them, people like Pastor Charlotte said. So let's make sure we're taking care of God's business properly, the kingdom business properly, so that as Shanti said yesterday and as Pastor Kale said, we can make it into the kingdom. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my due time crew and our guest, Mr. Ainsley Harris. And thank you, my listeners, for adding in your 2 cents. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Christ your life right now, or deepen your relationship with God right now, because either way, we're not promised later. Until tomorrow, God spares, where it's Wow Wednesday. I love you.